This is Out and About on Peoria Public Radio. I'm Nathan Irwin.
And I'm Suzette Boulay with Arts Partners of Central Illinois. We're here with Chip Joyce from Cornstalk Theater. He's directing their production of The Graduate, which opens tonight at the Winter Playhouse. Good to have you back again, Chip.
Thanks.
And we should probably note, Chip, that I am one of the cast members of this production.
Right. Full disclosure, you have director and a cast member here today.
Right. But I was surprised to learn that this was the first non-musical that you have ever directed.
Yeah.
What was it about this piece that spoke to you? What made you want to direct this production?
I'm always looking for something I haven't done as far as directing goes. And kind of looked back at the whole list of shows I've done over the past couple of years. And every single one of them was a musical. Musicals of varying different shapes, sizes, scope, you know, everything. The one thing that was missing was a non-musical. And I have a lot of plays, non-musical plays, dramas, whatever you want to call them, whatever we call them, that I loved, had done in the past, always wanted to do, had intrigued me, you know, I found interesting. But I always got these big musicals that kind of, you know, ended up on the plate for me, and I had never had the chance to try one. So I thought, you know what, I need to make the conscious decision that I'm going to attempt a non-musical. And I've been spoiled by, frankly, kind of musical size audiences coming to shows. I mean, I don't think it's any secret that they tend to draw a bigger crowd for local audiences. And I thought, well, what do I want to do that people are going to want to see is something intriguing? I realized it's, The Graduate. Well, that's a title that they know. The show, the movie, had been adapted into a play about 10, 15 years ago, first in London and then on Broadway. And I believe when The Graduate played Broadway, it was the best-selling advance ticket sales for any non-musical on Broadway in history, which obviously means it, you know, mass audiences would love to see this before even knowing if it's any good. You know, usually we rely so much, at least at the local level, on word of mouth about, you know, shows and the buzz and all of that. And sometimes it's almost a little too late. You know, a show's run is so short that something that would maybe drum up a lot of early interest appealed to me. The movie is one of my favorites. I discovered it when I was a high schooler and just thought it was hilarious and just absurd and fun and everything else. And it just kind of, I guess, made sense. And I said, that's the piece I think I want to attempt as my first non-musical.
With you being such a purist, and you've talked to us before about being a purist, wanted to follow the script, mm-hmm. How true are you to the 60s, the clothing, the set, the fashion, the hairdos, the entire genre?
You know, there's been kind of an interest, I feel like, in the last couple of years, or sort of a curiosity with the 60s. And I don't mean, you know, the peace, love, hippie 60s. I'm talking almost the Mad Men side of the 60s, that, you know, the suits and the heavy smoking, heavy drinking, heavy adultery. Graduate has all of that, frankly. And we definitely, I think, hit the nail on the head. I've got some pretty awesome people working with me. Sarah Bloom is our costumer. One of the best out there. She gets the era. She loves the era. Knew it would be fun to design. Hair and makeup, Amy Williams, who does a lot of hair and makeup in town. The characters walk out on stage, and, you know, the costumes and the hair really make it.
I was intrigued how different the script is from the movie that we all know. So the famous scene of Ben pounding on the windows at the church, that's not actually in the script, although you found a way to work that in.
Yeah, you'll see it. You'll see an homage. The show is the lab space, the Winter Playhouse space that we're doing the show in, is incredibly small, incredibly intimate. The show, The Graduate, is to a certain degree, but doing it in a space that small and with audience all around you, it was definitely challenging. I don't think the playwrights necessarily intended it to be done that way. With any show that's, you know, was a movie first and then a play after, there's a lot of jumping around of locations. Why? Because in a movie, it's so much easier to do than it is on stage, to jump from one location to the next. And so there's a lot of that in the show, and needed to come up with, that was one of the biggest challenges that I saw with presenting this script in this space, was finding a way to fit it into the space and make it work and not have these glaring eyesores known as scene changes, you know, happening that just kind of disrupted the flow of the show. You know, you can black out and have a crew come on and change your scenery, but in a space that small, you can see it. It just kind of breaks up the mood, and I didn't want that. And the movie, with the way it kind of transitions from scene to scene, I noticed, you know, you have this great Simon and Garfunkel score that pretty much kind of slides in in between each scene and kind of serves as a transition. So I thought, well, let's try something along those lines on stage. Hopefully it'll capture the same sort of flavor of the movie. You have, you know, one scene and then you hear them start singing and it kind of just dissolves into the next scene. That's what we tried to sort of recreate in a theatrical sense. So hopefully, you know, despite the changes in the show versus the movie, you'll still get kind of the same sense. I've told people have said, you know, how does it compare to the movie? What are the differences? There are differences. The play is a hybrid of the book, which came first, and then the movie. If you know the movie The Graduate backwards and forwards and can recite it, which I don't know really anybody that can, but we all know a couple quotes from it. If you know the movie backwards and forwards, you will definitely notice differences. If you saw the movie a few years ago, or you know you've seen it a time or two, I think it'll be about how you remember it. You will walk away from the play saying, yeah, that's about how I remember the movie.
You've got three key characters, Mrs. Robinson, Benjamin, and Elaine.
Yeah.
How do you make it so that Mrs. Robinson isn't purely dominating the entire show?
The first act of the show really kind of focuses on Ben's affair with Mrs. Robinson. And then the second act really switches gears, and it's suddenly he's now pursuing Elaine, her, you know, Mrs. Robinson's daughter, and really just sort of bucking or not thinking about the consequences that are going to come, you know, if he isn't in fact able to be with Elaine, you know, just kind of the baggage that comes in light of everything that he did in the first act with Mrs. Robinson, her mother. You know, he pursues Elaine with little regard to the consequences. And I think that says a lot about just kind of the youth generation, even now, but especially in the 60s, you know, as times were changing, as the song goes, sort of, this idea of you have a promising future, great accomplishments under your belt, and then suddenly nothing. You know, that college students today, I think, still kind of face that problem. They get the degree, and then suddenly, you know, student loans start piling up, and they don't have a job yet. A lot of jobs, it turns out, if you go to college, you're too qualified for, and sometimes you sit around idle without much to do and starting to kind of lose direction and focus and not sure what your purpose is. And, you know, sometimes you wander and just, you know, idle time, you find some way to fill it. Ben's case, it's having an affair with an older woman. Then when he meets her daughter, he realizes, hey, you know, I'm suddenly motivated again. I want to get this girl. I want to be with this girl. She makes me happy. Again, you know, whether or not that's a good thing in light of what he had been doing, you know, remains to be seen. But it's all handled in a really fun way. You know, this is certainly not heavy drama by any means. It's fun. It's a good time. I think the audience will laugh through the whole thing.
One of the things that I really like about the script that I don't remember being as clear in the movie is Benjamin's arc. In the movie, he seems sort of disaffected and difficult to get along with and very unsympathetic through most of the film. But I think the stage version does a much better job of putting Benjamin on a journey so that he starts here and then ends in a different place. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think the way Benjamin's written in the play is much, much closer to how the character was originally intended in the book. And even originally in the movie, of course, Dustin Hoffman played Benjamin in the movie, and he's known as kind of an outside-of-the-box actor. Originally, when they were casting the movie, they actually wanted Robert Redford to play Benjamin, you know, and obviously Robert Redford is that kind of perfect all-American, blonde-haired, blue-eyed guy. Dustin Hoffman, most definitely not. He's very, we'll say, New York. And so he was a very, very non-traditional choice, and as such, ended up playing it in sort of a non-traditional way. Much more deadpan, much more loose, just much more Dustin Hoffman. I mean, he really made that role his. And granted, you know, not to minimize that, because that performance is a large part of what made the movie such a successful classic. That being said, though, I think the play writes Benjamin a little bit more as he was intended, a little bit more good-looking all-American, the world is his oyster. I mean, you know, we all know the more money you have and the better looking you are, life tends to be easier for you, frankly. And
you've read the play a number of times. Now you've practiced it a number of times. It's going on stage. At this stage of the game, what would you say is the point of the show?
The point of the show? I mean, for me as the director and for audiences, it's a chance to see a classic on stage that you've never seen on stage before. This show's never played Peoria, you know, outside of movie houses, of course. I think it's a perfect combination. It's an homage to this story that, you know, we all know. I think for, you know, kind of baby boomers, people who were maybe 60s college students, it's a nostalgia piece for them. You know, children of the 80s have The Breakfast Club and Ferris Bueller's Day Off, I've said before, and I feel like The Graduate for baby boomers, for, you know, teenagers or college students of the 60s, they have the same sense of ownership over that story. You know, they'll remember seeing it in college, and it'll be a nice little nostalgia throwback piece for them. I think younger audiences, people who are, you know, college, early 20s, it's a timeless piece, frankly. You know, getting out of school or almost being done with school, telling all, you know, all of these adults telling you, you know, you're going to go places, and then suddenly you find yourself not going anywhere. And so I think the story will resonate for different reasons with anyone that comes to see it. Some it'll be fun. Some it'll have some meaning. Some it'll honestly be a dirty little fantasy for them. You know, whatever it is, I think anyone can and will enjoy the show.
Now, a couple of days you were giving notes after rehearsal, and you admitted that a lot of these were very small details, but you made the point that it's the small things that make the difference between a show that's pretty good and a show that's very good or really good. As a director, do you get to a point in the process, you know, maybe Sunday or Monday before opening, where you have a sense of where that production is going to end up, whether it's going to be fantastic or is this going to be okay? Is there a point where you as a director can say, yeah, I know where this is going?
A lot of directors have a hard time giving up control, I think. Believe it or not, I don't think I've ever really had that problem. I think I spend so much time in the early stages from the time I find out I'm going to direct the show up until, you know, this stage of the process, you know, where I'm, you know, just about to open. By the time that show's ready to open, I'm suddenly, you know, it's kind of out of my hands, and you can only direct the actors so much. That being said, you can still fine-tune up to the last second. I feel the harder the director works, the better the show's going to be, just all around, in a basic sense. And the way to take a show, like you said, from being pretty good to really great, it's those finer details that an audience isn't even going to notice or take for granted. Slightly positioning a character on stage a certain place, you know, just a matter of a few feet, can sometimes provide a better image to look at, better sight lines for the audience. Remember, of course, we're in the full round, so you got, you know, if you're an actor, you've got people surrounding you, so you really have nowhere to hide emotionally or practically. You know, you've got to get inventive with where it all comes from. You know, like I said, keeping a show moving. I've told every cast I've ever directed, and if any of them are listening, they'll start cracking up because I say this all the time. I refuse to be bored or preoccupied watching my own show. And a way to keep that from happening is to keep it moving. If a show's 2 hours long, you don't want it to feel like it's 2 hours long. You want an audience, when it's done, to say, wow, that's it? Oh, man, I would sit through that again. You know, I think that's the goal of every director. You'd love for that to be the case. And so I think that's important to direct with that approach. Just keep it moving, keep it interesting. Anything the audience sees needs to be something they want to look at. And that includes, you know, scene changes and moving and blocking and just the overall package. I think the show starts the second they walk into the theater, the time the doors open, you know, half an hour before, through curtain call. It's all part of the show.
We've been talking with Chip Joyce about Cornstalk Theater's production of The Graduate. It opens tonight and continues through Sunday, November 10th at the Winter Playhouse. Chip, break a leg.
Thank you. You too.
Nathan, it's the first of the month again, and that means the Chow Artist Gallery and Studio Tours are tonight from 5 to 9 p.m. Dozens of local artists are opening their studio doors so you can purchase original art, view artist demonstrations, take in some live music, and maybe share a libation or two. That's tonight from 5 to 9 p.m., so plan to stop on by.
And the Drunken Zombie Film Festival is back this weekend with independent horror films and shorts. Some of those include full-length films like Don't Go to the Reunion and The House of Good and Evil. The festival is tomorrow from noon to midnight and Sunday from noon to 5 o'clock at Landmark Cinemas in Peoria.
Out and About is a production of Peoria Public Radio and Arts Partners of Central Illinois. Each week, we connect you to the arts community by talking with local arts leaders and performers.
Our producer is Stephanie Sobey. You can find out more about Peoria Public Radio when you visit us on the web at peoriapublicradio.org. I'm Nathan Irwin, and this is Out and About.